Hello, Mr. and Ms. Trucker. Thanks for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Truck Stop Ministries. We pray that it will be a blessing and an encouragement to you. And now, here's your chaplain.
So as I said, last week, I started this talking about communication and trying to communicate with a dispatcher or a broker or somebody like that. So if you didn't get to hear last week's, just go on our Facebook page, Truck Stop Ministries, and you can pick that up, because I don't want to go back through it all. But I do want to start out and read in Matthew chapter 12. And if you have one of those Bibles there on your seat, it's on page 15 in the New Testament. And I want to read this to you, and I want you to think about what Jesus said about our communication. And if y'all don't mind, let's just stand in reverence of the Word of God and let's read this together. In Matthew 12, in verse 33, it says, "Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy word thou shalt be condemned." Heavenly Father, Lord, I just want to thank you again for your goodness, Lord, and your mercy. And I ask you, Lord, that you would just speak to our hearts, Lord. Help us, Lord, that we would give our tongues, our speech over to you, Lord, that we might say things that would glorify and edify you. Lift up our brothers and sisters and those that are around us as we go about our business. I just pray, Lord, you help us. Let our light shine for you. Of course, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Maybe see tonight. Just to give you a little recap, I started talking last week about communication. Six biblical principles for communication. And this word here that we read in the Gospel of Matthew talks about every idle word could literally be translated gossip. We all know about gossip. And I was thinking about things that not only in married life, but especially whenever you are dealing with somebody, especially if you deal with somebody over and over, such as a dispatcher, things in the office that go on, and then you hear word of something or this or that and the other, and we all got our opinions about it. And so I want to give you the three things I talked about last week, but I won't go back into all of them. But Ephesians 4:29 for future reference is one of the main verses that I concentrated on, where it says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." Corrupt communication can be a lot more than just things that mean curse words. You can say some things that are kind of hurtful and not be cussing at all. But let me give you number one. I mentioned last week. Number one, before we start to say something back or give an opinion, is it really true? Do I really have all the facts? It makes all the difference in the world if you have all the facts first. I know for myself, I'm real quick. I have my opinions. My mind's made up on some things that's not going to change. It's just not. But sometimes I will see maybe something on Facebook or somebody says something, and I don't have the whole story, the background of where that comment came from, but I already have my opinion in my mind made up about what they said. So it's good to get the whole story, get the fact. Number two is what I would like to say profitable. Will it help or hurt? Will it be constructive or destructive? There's a lot of verses in Proverbs. I mentioned last week, my pastor years ago told me to read Proverbs every day. There's 31 chapters in Proverbs. So just look at your phone, whatever the date is, read that chapter. And there is so much practical wisdom in Proverbs for how we act, our attitude, money. I jokingly tell people all the time, it says in Proverbs that, you know, why would you stay in a house with a brawling and cantankerous woman? The Bible says you ought to go to the wilderness, go to the woods, go hunt, do something, get out of the house. Amen? Makes sense, don't it? Amen? Sometimes it's kind of tough when you're in that truck, though, I know. but we need to be sure that what we're going to say is going to be constructive, I guess you could say. Number three, is this the proper time for me to say it, or would it be better for me to wait? Let me read you a verse in Proverbs 15. It says, "A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it?" So for our children, we're talking about our kids a while ago, and we have 19 grandkids, and I'm always looking for those teachable moments. There's a time to say things. Even if you're in an argument with somebody, or maybe you're not agreeing with your wife, or you're having trouble with a dispatch or something, it's not necessarily, as I said last week, when I was out on the road and I knew that dispatcher had lied to me, when I got to that office, I didn't want to get there at midnight. I was going to get there in the daytime because I wanted to go talk to him. And I've learned that, you know, it's maybe not always the best time just to barge in there, which is what I was, that was my nature. That's what I would do. I wanted to get my point across. And we're just going to get this lined out. And so it's sometimes it's better to wait and make sure we got the proper time about some things. But I closed last week with, I wanted to go to Ephesians 4 and chapter 15, and I wanted to talk about attitude. Nancy has taught school for 27 years. I'm talking, she taught high school math, high school kids, 27 years. I taught school a little bit, and I was just teaching Bible classes at a private school, but I still was dealing with high school boys. And some of those boys were, they were so talented, they could play ball and things like that, but they had bad attitudes. And attitude can really mess you up. But if you got your little Bible there, Ephesians 4:15 is on page 203. But let me read this verse to you. It says, "Speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." So I just wanted to get that first part of that verse that says to speak the truth in love. I'm very adamant about speaking the truth. And the more we speak the truth today, we speak the truth of God's word, the more offended people get. And I hate that, but I can't change that. The truth is the truth. But I can deliver the message in a loving way, kind way. And attitude is one of those things that my daddy used to say, you know, it's like a flat tire. You can't go anywhere until you change it. And so you have to change that attitude if you want to go anywhere and get ahead in life. And so let me just maybe think about a story. When my kids were small, I was 27 years old before I got saved, so I'd done a lot between the time I left home at 15, riding my thumb to California, and 27. And so I was trying to teach my kids to pray and to do things a lot different than I did as a 10, 12, 13-year-old kid. And we had been to town, and we lived way out of town. I mean, we went hunting towards town. We lived out in the woods. And so we went to town, we was on our way back, and we had a flat, had a blowout. We had an old Crown, Crown Vic Marquis. It was a Marquis. It had these really fancy wire hubcaps, this old car, but you could not get them off without a good tire tube. And I didn't have one. I had a four-way and I had a jack. So we pulled over, we had this little discussion going on till we were just riding down the road, and even the kids were sitting in the back seat quiet, all three of them. Nobody said anything. And we had this blowout. I mean, we're probably 7-8 miles from home and we have a flat. So I get out and go change the tire and all that stuff. And that's when I discovered I could not get the hubcap off. And my youngest son, we would gather around and hold hands and pray as a family. We'd pray for at dinner time. We'd pray for people and pray around the table before they went to school when I was at home, things like that. And my son said, I was so irritated, you know. I'm like, oh, what are we going to do? And he didn't have cell phones back then, you know. And my son said, "Well, Dad, why don't you pray and ask God to help us?" And I'm like, I didn't say this, but I'm like, I don't want to ask God to help me. I don't want to pray because that means I got to make up with her. And I don't want to make up with her right now. I'm mad. You ever been there? No? Amen? So that's kind of where I was at. And long story short, I finally God was just dealing with me so much, and the Holy Spirit was convicting me, and He was using my son to do it. And finally, I got my wife off to the side, and we talked about whatever. I don't even know what we were upset about. Whatever it was, I was wrong. So I had to admit that. And so we made up so we could pray. Because, you know, you can't have, you don't tell me that you pray and you talk to Jesus and you won't talk to the people you live with. There's a problem there. Because that's another lesson. I won't get into that. But we have to have, we need to have fellowship amongst ourselves and a relationship together before we can talk to God. If we got sin amongst ourselves and we're mad at the world, I mean, how are we going to ask God to help us and bless us in these different areas of life? So we have prayer. We gather around. We're on the side of the road now. Now, listen, I've been living there all my life. Nobody stopped to help me. Nobody recognized us. I mean, everybody knew that Bill Blackman and his kids and his old car and all that stuff. Nobody stopped. I don't think God wanted anybody to stop. But we wound up on the side of the road holding hands as a family, praying for God to help us. And I didn't know what that meant. Just help us get this tire off. Somebody stop, help us, is what I really figured would happen. But while we were praying, it was as clear as day. God spoke to me how to get the hubcap off. We got through praying, and I said, I know what we're going to do. Y'all can tell I'm pretty big around. So I took my belt off and run it through those spokes and just popped it right off. I mean, it come off like butter. And I'm thinking, why didn't I think of that first? And I know God wouldn't let me think of it. So, but attitude makes all the difference in the world. And because I had a bad attitude, I didn't want to ask God to help, and I didn't want to make up. It says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. So that word mind in the Greek could literally be translated attitude. What was the attitude that Jesus had? He said, not my will be done, but thine. And so that's the attitude that we should have. And so what I'm saying is that when we talk to people, and I know we can think about our kids, and our kids have attitudes, and they need to get this lesson. But we can have attitudes. I mean, it's kind of like, well, y'all know what it's like to stay in. We live in this little motorhome. It's really not that big, okay? A little bit bigger than your truck, but not much. And when you live in there with somebody, you can just get attitudes. And it's kind of like, you know, if you want to get out of your truck and you've been having a little bit of a discussion with your wife, and you know, she says, well, I love you, and you step out of the truck and say, I love you too! And you close the door and you go off to the truck stop or whatever. Now, you said good words, I love you too, but it's the attitude that you used it. And when you said it, amen, don't elbow nobody, okay? Don't hurt nobody.
Don't hurt. And,
but it makes a difference. And so I really have to work on, I think it's because of my natural ways. God has dealt with me on this my entire life as a Christian. To watch my tongue. You know, James says the tongue is just a little small member, but it creates big fires. It's kind of like a truck, 75 foot long, 80,000 pounds. We got a little bit of steering wheel, control the whole thing. So our tongue is very, it can really say some things to get us in trouble. It can also say some things to lift somebody up and encourage them. So I just want to encourage that we think about as the things that we're saying when we're talking to somebody and how they're hearing it. Let me give you another verse in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. It says, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now, I don't know about you, but the first time I ever read that verse, man, it hit me hard. Because I had people that I didn't want to forgive. I might would take my big King James Bible and knock them over the head or something, but I didn't want to forgive. And I read this verse and it says that I'm supposed to forgive them, not because they're doing right or they're not making fun of me anymore for being a Christian. It says, because God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That's why I'm supposed to forgive. And it really just, it's one of those verses, you know, there's sometimes certain verses, especially as a young Christian, when you read the Bible, just really stick out and hit you hard. And this is one of those verses that really got me, because I don't forgive someone else because they're doing right. I forgive someone else because Jesus Christ died for my sins and He's forgave me. And that's why I do it. So I'm not saying I always do it and I do it right, but that's what we're supposed to do. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it says, God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by his own power. In other words, we should trust the Lord. Let me give you a verse in Titus. Let me see what page that's on last week. In Titus chapter 3, page 225. When we're talking to our children especially, but look, it's real easy for me to read these verses and apply them to somebody else. Mm-hmm. But it's applying it to me is what I'm trying to do. But in Titus chapter 3, verse 1, Paul here is writing to Titus, and he says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers. Now, for me, years ago when I read this, you know, being a company driver, an owner-operator, all the different things I've done over the years, I had to learn to communicate with folks. And to be subject to principalities and powers, we recognize that means the law, it means we should have respectful authority. But you know, whenever you're under the authority, so to speak, of a dispatcher, then we've got to give him some respect. And I'm going to tell you, y'all probably know what I'm talking about. Some of them, it's really hard to do. I mean, they worked at McDonald's, so they got that job, and they don't know squat. So, you know, and I've had some good dispatchers. But I'm just saying, when you're having to deal with that, and they're in Ohio, and you're in California, that's it can be aggravating sometimes. So we are to put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers. That's us. We want to be mindful of that. To obey magistrates, to be ready in every good work. But listen to this. This is where I really had a hard time. To speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. So, you know, it's one thing to do that on the side of the road with a DOT man, and sometimes that can be still be difficult. I was coming out of Long Beach one time, and you know how the lanes do if you're coming back north, and they want you to stay in these certain lanes over here. Well, I'm trying to scoot over, but there was a cop behind me, and he got over and just rode. And he was real close, so close that I wasn't sure if I actually would get in front of him or hit him if I scooted over, so I stayed where I was. And eventually he pulls me over. So, hey, you know you're supposed to be out in that lane. I said, yeah, if you'd got out of my way, I would have moved. And it's one of those times that, you know, I want to be respectful to authority, but it was just ridiculous to me. So it's hard to sometimes bite your tongue, so to speak. But because he's the man with the pad, you want to be respectful to him. Well, as Christians, we should be respectful to him for other reasons, not because he can write you a ticket. And now, thank God he didn't write me a ticket. But I mean, now I'm thinking, why did he pull me over when he write me a ticket, you know? Then we could have been on down the road. But those things happen in life. So we need to respect authority. And I'll tell you, it's one of the things in America that we're lacking today. People don't respect authority, and we need to do that. We need to set the example for that. So I know I spent a lot of time on that. Was just number four. Is my attitude right? I want to have the right attitude whenever I am dealing with somebody, whether it be my wife, a dispatcher, whoever it might be. I want to have the right attitude. So, number five, are the words that I want to use the best possible way of saying it? This is a really hard one for me. I want y'all to know I didn't get this out of the book. I had to learn all this the hard way. And are the words that I want to use the best way of saying it? Because my natural bent was to use the words that was going to be the most sarcastic when I said it. And so it was really hard for me to work on that, to not say those sarcastic kind of things. So there's a verse in Proverbs 12:25, and it says, heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, or you could say depression maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. And I'm telling you, I've learned this. There's so many times when, because you know what it's like, you can have bad days out here, and I think that's why it's so important to take time for a break like this, because we have bad days, and if everybody's having a bad day, and then we meet up, then we all have a bad day. But if you can say something, and so I've over the years tried to practice this, just to be, even though I'm having a bad day or something's going, I just try to say something positive to drivers when I've run into them in the parking lot and the rest of wherever it's at, whoever it might be, because you never know what their day's been like. Even whenever you go somewhere to unload, you don't know what that shipper's had to do. You don't know what the last truck driver was like that he's dealing with. And I've had some rounds. I mean, I've had some, and I won't talk about it, but I've had some bad rounds with shippers, okay? And when you own your own stuff, you just take it with you and take their stuff with you until we get this straightened out. We don't have to stand and argue no more. And so we can say things that are encouraging, uplifting to people, and say it in a positive manner. So choose our words carefully. Let me give you another one. This is one that really I put into practice on purpose one time. I just read this verse, Proverbs 15:1. It says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. In other words, being a smart aleck. Now, I'll give you this a real short of this, but I had a man years ago. I was pastoring a little country church, and this man got upset with the preacher. He didn't really attend that church, but he had family that did, and he came every great once in a while. Whatever he got crossways about, he come to whoop me. And I wasn't afraid of him, physically afraid, but I didn't want to have that reputation that the preacher beat up somebody in his church. So, man, I mean, he was giving me a hard time, and I just started talking. I had just read this verse, and I'm telling you, he drove up. And a soft answer. So I tried to just remain calm and talk in a nice, soft manner and said, man, I'm sorry about that. You know, I'm hip and all this stuff. Long story short, when he left the house, the parsonage, he was in tears and gave me a hug. Said, preacher, man, I'm glad you're here. And I'm telling you, what changed was my reaction to what he said. Had I reacted the way I normally would react, I didn't know where word would have went. But because of the way that I spoke back to him, in other words, I didn't add no fuel to his fire. And it changed the whole direction of our conversation. And it was because of that one verse right there. Let me give you another one right quick in Proverbs. It says in Proverbs 15:23, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? In other words, you say the right word at the right time. In Ecclesiastes, it says in chapter 12 and verse 10, and all those are in that Bible there, but I'm not going to flip back and forth because I want to stay over the New Testament. I got something I want us to look at. But it says, the preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. So I just want to encourage that we look for acceptable words, things that we can say that's going to glorify God, honor God, but it's also going to put us in a better spot for somebody to talk with us. If we're dealing with people out in the world and shippers and dispatchers and whatever it is, brokers and all those things, you know, they're just people. They're not all bad. But you don't know what they're dealing with. You don't know what they've been going through just before they got off the phone with you. When I had my trucks and one time we had 12 employees, and then I get on the phone with a broker and I just been on the phone with a driver that I wanted to slap and he was 500 miles away. And then, you know, so I had to just calm down. I'm talking to this guy about this load, and he don't know nothing, so I don't need to give him my attitude. And during that time, I mean, I'm telling y'all, folks, I had to stay in the Word. I said, Lord, help me. I'm not doing very good at this. And it was a very learning time for me. And but we can make a difference. We can make a difference in the words that we say. So another one I want to get to. Come on in, brother. Number six, have I prayed about this matter? I got some coffee right there if you want to get a cup of coffee while we finish it up. But have I prayed about this matter, and am I trusting God to help me? Because if you're dealing with a dispatcher or something that's going on like that, and you've got your mind made up about what you want to see the results of, but have we prayed about it? Have we asked God to, you know, what should I do in this situation? Because realize, as I was telling you a while ago about losing my first wife, I had to come to the conclusion and realize and understand that didn't catch God off guard. He knew that day was the last day I was going to see her. He also knows tomorrow, if you're dealing with a jerk that you're trying to get your truck unloaded, he knows about that too. So how can we be used while we're trying to deal with that man? Maybe that man's on his way to hell and he needs Christ. And you're the one that's going to stand in the gap for him. So we got to think about how we prayed about that. And I try to make, I don't do this all perfect all the time, but I try to have a habit of things that are really big issues, things that I'm dealing with, or big financial purchases. Pray about it for 3 days. Especially if you're trying to buy something. I mean, my goodness, it'll be there. There'll be another one. There's always something for sale. So we're not to get no hurry. It's not the best deal in the world. And but let me give you a verse, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. It says to trust in the Lord with all thine heart. In other words, put your faith in him. Lean not unto thine own understanding in all thy ways. In other words, in everything that you're doing, in all thy ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. Now that verse 6 says, if you will acknowledge God in that situation, you'll acknowledge him and what's going on in your life, he shall direct your path. The problem that I had was acknowledging God and having an awareness that the Holy Spirit was even present to lead me, to guide me, to show me the way. And that part falls on us. So we need to seek the Lord and his guidance. But y'all go to Colossians, Colossians chapter 4. That's on page 212 over in the New Testament. excuse me. It says to Colossians 4 verse 2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Now that just that one verse right there will change everything. If you will be thankful for what you do have. It's like yesterday, our generator slung around and blowed oil everywhere. It was hot. And I need it. Right now, I need it bad. And here we are, we're trying to do the Lord's work. We're trying to do what God would have us to do. And I think about, there's all things I could whine about. When you don't have a generator and a motor on, you can whine about it a lot because you need the generator. But then I got to think about all the things God has blessed us with and how he's blessed us with. Look, we're riding around in a 20-year-old 1999 model Ford motorhome. And we go everywhere and anywhere. God's blessed us. We're not sitting on the side of the road. There's all kinds of things that I can praise God for. So it says, watch in the same with thanksgiving. In other words, if you have a thankful heart, that helps change your attitude right off the bat. Then it says, with all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance. This is that guy you're going to deal with at the shipper tomorrow, okay? Mm-hmm. Remember this verse. Praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. I know it can be difficult, drivers. Believe me, I know it can be difficult. But we need to be careful how we answer every man, not just the DOT man, every man. And where we started out in Matthew, where Jesus says that we're going to give an account. I'm going to read that verse 37 to you again. He said, 36 and 37. He said, I say unto you that every idle word, in other words, everything that you gossip about, that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words, notice this, it's not by your wife's words or your husband's words or even the dispatcher's words. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. So it's what we say, it's the words that we speak that's going to make all the difference in the world. And I just want to encourage you to be mindful of this as we go about our everyday lives, because the things that we say to people, the things that we, the attitude that we say it with, sometimes, as y'all well know, that's the only Bible they're ever going to read is us. So we need to be careful how we say things and how we answer people. Not just necessarily the words that we say. Listen, there's all kinds of things going on in our country that I totally am absolutely 1,000% against. But I still need to speak to those people that are for it in a way that they might come to know Christ personally. Because when they come to know him, then their views will change just like mine did. When I got saved, I didn't have the views I have today. I didn't think anything was wrong. If you could do it and not go to jail for it, do it. If you could do it and go to jail if you got caught, don't get caught. Just do it. You know, that was my attitude. but my attitude's changed because of what Christ has done for me. So I want to encourage you with a verse in Psalms 19:14. We won't turn there, but listen to this. It says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." That's Psalms 19:14. "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight." When I first got saved and all the stuff I would listen to on the radio, CD, AM, FM, I had to change that. And I did. I changed that to listen to more gospel music. I eventually changed it to what I listened for several years. I hardly listened to anything but preaching because I needed it. And it helped me. I didn't know it then, but it helped me to flush out some of that junk in my system and in who I was in the past. Because something had truly happened to me, and I want to tell everybody about it. So I want to give you this. I didn't write the page number down, but it's in Revelation chapter 12. I want to give you this verse. I tell everybody this is the verse to have a victorious life as a Christian. If you want to live a victorious life, in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, tells us how to do that. I don't know what the page number is, but it's way in the back. Revelation 12, 11 says, listen to this. It says, "And they overcame him," talking about the devil, talking about Satan, "by the blood of the Lamb." In other words, they got saved. They accepted Christ as their Lord. And it says, "And by the word of their testimony." In other words, the word of their testimony, they talked about it. They got saved, and then they talked about it. And then it says, "And they loved not their lives unto the death." So, if we want to live a victorious life, number one, get saved. And if you're not saved, and you can do that right now today, all you have to do is accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." It's not real complicated, praise God. You just got to ask. And I thank God that it's simple. It was a very expensive price that he paid with his precious blood that we could have eternal life. But it is simple for us. We just receive what he's already done. But if we do that and we accept Christ, it says in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, to not be ashamed of the gospel. The gospel is what changed my life. So we should share that. If you'll share that, if you'll talk to people about what Jesus has done for you, I promise you there's people that's hurting. There's people right where you was at when you met Christ, right where you're at today. And if you'll just share your testimony, two things will happen. Number one, you're going to glorify God in testifying, talking about his goodness and his mercy. Number two, the devil's going to run away from you because he can't stand that. When you praise the Lord, the devil's going to flee. And whenever you're praising the Lord and you're glorifying God and the devil flees, then you open up that door for somebody to listen to what you're saying. And so don't get upset if people don't. I've had to come to the conclusion, if people don't accept what I'm saying, maybe they don't believe it, whatever the reason is, doesn't matter. I was there. I know what happened to me. I know how it changed my life, radically changed my life. So I still share the message. I share the gospel. I share Jesus and his love. And if they accept it, okay. If they don't, okay. Leave the door open. Maybe I'll see them again. You never know. You know, we're all over the country just like y'all. You never know. You might see them again sometime. And when people are ready, when their heart's tender, I've come to find out people will listen to you whenever things happen. Sometimes you got a mom that's been praying for a young man, and then those prayers are answered because things aren't going on his way now. He's slowed down a little bit. Now he's listening. That happens for real. And so I want to encourage y'all to, number one, pray for your children. But most of all, if you've not accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to encourage y'all to do that today. And all I want to do today in closing, I don't want to be too long on our Facebook page, but I just want to lead us in a prayer. And if you've never accepted Christ, listen, the Bible says that all you have to do, Romans chapter 10, is that you just believe it in your heart, what God has done on the cross. Jesus Christ died and gave his life for you. He was buried. He was resurrected on the third day. There's lots of proof of the resurrection. You believe that in your heart. You confess it with your mouth. You ask him to be Lord of your life. And according to the Bible, that's what we call saved. That means that you're not perfect, but you're on your way to glory. And so I want to encourage you, if you've never prayed that prayer, I want to pray a little simple prayer with you and ask you to trust the Lord. Maybe you're on a spot like I was some years ago, I had actually pastored my first church, and I decided, you know what, some of the meanest people I ever met was in the church. Some of the nice folks I ever met was on a bar stool. And I said, I ain't doing this, this just ain't worth it. Of course, it's a long story, but the Lord got a hold of me and I had to confess some things. And I was looking at other people and not him. And maybe that's where you're at today, and I just want to encourage you to just open up your heart, pray, and ask God to help you, to show you. So if you would, just pray with me, and I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and let's all pray this together. Heavenly Father, I come in the name of Jesus. I ask that you forgive my sins, forgive me what I've done wrong, come to my life and help me to be the kind of Christian you want me to be. Help me to live for you to the best of my ability. I want to commit my life to you and to studying your word. I'm willing to turn from my sinful lifestyle, Lord, and to just trust you. So I just ask you, Lord, to forgive me, and I want to thank you for that. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for cleansing me from all unrighteousness, as it says in 1 John 1:9. And I receive your forgiveness right now, Lord, and by faith in the name of Jesus, I receive what you've done for me on Calvary's cross, that I might have eternal life, and that I might have victory in this life. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening, Mr. and Ms. Trucker. We want you to know that God loves you and wants to have a personal, loving relationship with you. Please keep us in your prayers, and if you'd like to contact us, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/truckstopministries. Also, our website is www.truckstopministries.org. You can also make a donation at either place if you feel so led. We appreciate your prayers, comments, and support, and it is our prayer that God richly bless you.